that. All right, I am sorry. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. How many people got a Bible on a computer, on a phone? All right, shine it out. Ephesians, chapter 6. It's a well-known chapter in the Bible, talking about the whole armor of God. And it says, finally, everybody say finally. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, anybody got a struggle this week? Anybody got struggles going on? Amen? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to keep on standing. Sometimes we fall. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are good, mighty, and awesome, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you do not leave us alone. Lord, as we are arrayed with enemies around us, Lord, who come against us, Lord, we come seeking you, Lord, that you would equip us and empower us to overcome every act of the enemy that would seek to destroy us, that would destroy our family, our children, our friends, and those that are close to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that are being crushed this morning, Lord, this next couple of weeks, for those that we know that need a hand of hope, Lord, that you would reach down from heaven, Lord, that you use us to reach out. And we'll give you praise, and we give you all honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Well, what a cheerful reading that we have at Christmas time this year. About the enemies that are arrayed against you, the forces of darkness. And for many of you, yes, you can relate. Yes, the forces of darkness that raiders signify for many of you, and not doing so well this year. Because this year, before the season began, they indeed traded away their best defensive player. And as the season went on, they traded away their number one receiver. And some would say that it's not going on so well for them. That they are indeed tied for second place, second worst record in the league. Tied with San Francisco that beat them 34-3 in one of the early games of the year. I'm not going to buy you lunch for that, Pastor Scott. Today they are arrayed. They're going to play against the Steelers. They're 13-point underdogs. People say they made a mistake because they're trying to win without their best players. They're trying to win without any power. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're in this series called The Gift of Life. And last week we took a look at the gift of, that we receive from Christ, new life, that he has indeed paid for our sins, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and it is a gift that we receive from the kingdom of God, and it is a gift that we can share for those who are in need around us. Amen? But today, I want to let you know that there is more than the gift of life in the kingdom of God. There is the gift for living. Because as you get here, as you get that new life in Christ, there's many who stop. And I got new life, and God has completed his work. No, that's the beginning of the work that the Lord would do in your life, that he empowers us to live, not just for life. Can I get a witness on that? He gives us new life, and then after that comes living that life. Can I get a witness? Are you tracking with me? Are we on? Are you with me? All right, I know everybody's freaking out because I talked about the Raiders. But, all right, we're just going to move on. We talked about this new life last week. We looked at God chooses us for this new life, this new existence in Christ. And we come to today's message of the kingdom, that there is more than just a life. There is living, and there is living to display God's glory around us. Because if you're going to display God's glory, he's got no problem pouring out his power in you. Amen? Why would he hold back? You're going to glorify him. We are in the midst of all this opposition. Opposition against you living to glorify God. Opposition to you living and sharing the message of the gospel. All this opposition, authorities and powers and rulers of the dark world that would come against you. In the midst of all this, many of us live our lives like the Raiders. We got no power because we're trying to live with less than the best. We're trying to live our lives on what we can do rather than receiving what he would do in us. And so this morning we're going to talk about power for living. We're going to talk about power for victory. We're going to talk about power for overcoming, because I'm wondering how many of you this week had the powers of darkness arrayed against you, that you felt like you were climbing uphill the whole way. Anybody out there having a struggle at home? Anybody out there having a struggle? Anybody out there having a struggle to get here this morning? Anybody here leave a train wreck at home behind them? Because why? Because the devil is wonking in your family and doing everything he can to keep you from glorifying God. We're going to take a look at how to get that power. We're going to take a look at how to live lives of victory. We can take a look at power for a living. Anybody interested in that? All right. Hallelujah. Let's take a look. We're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, and then we're going to jump up to Ephesians chapter 3. When Paul talks about the church in Ephesus, he says, get it going and keep it going. And so we're going to take a look at verses 15 through 17. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And first thing that Paul tells us is our victory comes from knowing God. He says that as our lives are transformed, as we begin to live lives of faith, that our faith is going to generate acts of love for the body of Christ. He writes to the church in Galatia, chapter 5, verse 6, the only thing, say only thing, would you? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, Paul hears that this is going on in this church of Ephesus, that they have faith, and this faith is being expressed in love, and so he offers up a prayer of thanksgiving, saying, hallelujah, look at what is being done at the church in Ephesus. And I hope somewhere that there is a prayer that is going up for the work that is being done for the church in City Heights. Can I get a witness on that? That there is something that counts going on right here in City Heights, that there is faith being expressed in acts of love for the body of Christ. Men are going to do some acts of love next week. Trying to bless you ladies. Take care of you. On top of thanks, Paul is praying for miracles. On top of saying, oh, thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that is being done in Ephesus, he is asking for a supernatural release of power in the lives of the Christians in Ephesus. A supernatural release of wisdom and the revelation to know God better. And I'm wondering this morning, how well do you know God? I'm wondering this morning, if you come in here this morning and you're thinking, man, I wish I could know God better. If you could increase your understanding and knowledge of God, is that something that you would be interested in? Anybody? Say, yeah, that's me. I want to know God better. Tommy Banks, all right. George, I see you in the back. Hallelujah. It's a lot of people. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to pray Paul's prayer for us this morning. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to grab the hand of that person next to you, and we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to pray for each other. And some of you are thinking right now, ho, ho, ho. I'm not all that comfortable with that. I think I'd rather just pass. But some are thinking, oh, if there is more, give me more. I remember being a new Christian, I show up to church every time saying, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to get all there is. Lord, if there's more of you, I want to know about that. Amen? Now, if you're not comfortable, you don't have to grab that hand. But if you're comfortable, I want you to grab the hand right next to you. And we're going to pray, and I want you to pray for the person whose hand that you are holding. And in fact, what I want you to do too is if you're grabbing that hand, I want you to just lift that hand up and you just say, Lord, here I am. I want to know you more. Well, you can actually say that. But what you're going to do is by lifting it. I appreciate the excitement. Enthusiasm. There you go. You know, lift it up. And you also see, because it's a display to the powers and the rulers saying, devil! Back off.
Back off.
All right, well, we got a few of you. I'll take that. Lord, right now, lift it up. I want you to pray for that person whose hand you're holding. Lord, right now, I just pray, Lord, supernatural wisdom and revelation that we can know you better, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We don't live in darkness anymore, Lord. We want to be transformed in the midst of our challenges so that we would receive power from you on high. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So let's talk about that discomfort. Maybe you struggle. I don't really like reaching out and doing all that stuff. I'm going to be a holy roller, nothing like that. But I want to let you know that if you are going to move into the supernatural revelation of God, supernatural wisdom in God and power of God, you might have to move through some levels of discomfort in your life. Amen?
Amen?
See, this discomfort is what the devil uses to keep you from growing in the Lord. It is that discomfort at the end of a service when God is just speaking to your heart, saying, go up there to that altar. I want to do some surgery in your soul. I say, oh, I don't really feel comfortable, though. See, it's that discomfort that the powers and the principalities of darkness use you to keep you in a box and keep you small, keep you from knowing God and keeping you from living for His glory. Because you're going to glorify God, you're going to need more than what you got right now. You're going to need more than what you started with. You're going to need a supernatural blast from the kingdom. Say, Lord, I'm going to live to glorify you. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Here we go, verses 18 through 20. I pray that the eyes of your heart, this is Paul again praying for this church in Ephesus. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's good right there. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. See, we don't have to live lives getting beat down by the forces that are arrayed against us. We can live lives of victory. Hallelujah. See, there's so many people who take the initial steps with the Lord. Oh, Lord, take my life. And I hope you've taken that. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I'm a sinner. I'm a train wreck. Lord, I surrender to you. Come into me and transform me. And so many take those initial steps and don't realize that there's more that comes after. Can I get a witness on that? And because they don't realize, they come with a desire to know the hope that's coming. I'm going to go to heaven. But they don't realize the whole plan of the path of God. And so Paul is saying, I am praying that you might get a grip on what God has for you and an understanding of where his path is going to take you. Amen? He says you've got to get that understanding way down deep in your heart, down in your gut, down in your soul. That, hey, I got an inheritance coming at me. And everything... You know how long you're going to... Jimmy, how old was your grandma when she passed away? 92. That's pretty old. Can I get a witness on that? How many people think if I hit 92, I'd be doing good? You know how long heaven lasts? 92 years ain't nothing. 92 years ain't even a breath in heaven. We got it. We got an inheritance coming, and it's not even just a regular inheritance. It's a glorious inheritance. It's inheritance that comes from the plan of God, the throne room of the kingdom of God, and it is headed our way. And when you begin to get a grip on that, it is like all this other stuff begins to just fade away. Amen? The piddly stuff. Even the biggest stuff we got down here is piddly stuff when you know you've got a glorious inheritance that's headed your way. Amen? Another thing that a lot of people need to get a grip on way down deep in your heart, your gut, in your soul is the incomparably great power that's available for us who believe. I was trying to come up with something that I could compare it to. But it's incomparably great. There is nothing. There's nothing on this planet that you can compare to the power of the kingdom of God that is available to you to overcome the forces of darkness that are arrayed against you. This power is that same power that God used to raise Christ from the tomb on Easter morning. Amen? This power can be released in the life of those who live with a focus on the Lord. I say can be because a lot of people don't realize that it's around. That's why Paul is praying this prayer. And I wish you guys could get a grip. I wish you guys could get a grip on what is available to you because you're walking around living with a whole lot less, trying to win without any power. Amen? You got this incomparably great power that's available to you. I'm wondering this morning, how many times did you grab on last week? Sadly, for many in the church, it's zero. Sadly, for many in the church, they don't grab on because they're not in situations where they need to grab on, and they get into situations where they need to grab on, and they're unaware of the power. Waiting for heaven. But got no clue about the power that's available to us that gets us there. Amen? Again, this comes from supernatural enlightenment. A miracle from God. You tracking with me on that? You tracking with me? Grab that hand again that you prayed with earlier. We're going to pray for that. Lord Jesus, I pray right now, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you let us know, Lord, of the incomparably great power that is available to us, Lord. I pray also, Lord, of your glorious inheritance, Lord, that comes to all the saints, Lord, that we celebrate that in the midst, Lord, of what you are doing, Lord. We come and we live our lives in expectation of a glorious reward that is coming at us, and also desiring, Lord, incomparably great power to overcome the challenges that beset us, Lord. That we can live to glorify you in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Getting over that discomfort? I hope so. Hallelujah. Hey, it was about 29 years ago, I was at a church service on Wednesday night. And I went there with Marilyn Stables. I was I quit drinking about 6 months before, and I was trying to work out all this God stuff. God was doing a miracle, and we're there on a Wednesday night, and Marilyn had a train wreck life as well, and she was trying to work it out. And we got to the end of the service. He was preaching on the book of Hebrews, and he was talking about Christ's righteousness and surrendering our attempts at righteousness so that we could grab on to Jesus' righteousness. And we got to the end of the service, and he said, you know, bow your heads, and he goes, if you want to give up your attempts at righteousness and receive Christ's righteousness, I want you to stand to your feet. And I'm thinking, no way. I am sitting right next to Marilyn Stables. And he says, kid you not, God is speaking to some people out there and you're not standing. He goes, I'm going to wait just a moment longer. God, speaking to your heart, I want you to stand to your feet. And I'm telling you, it is like my legs were on fire. He says, I'm going to wait just a moment longer just for you. And I'm telling you, I jumped to my feet and I put my hands in the air. And I looked over and there's Marilyn Stables standing with her hands in the air as well. And we talked afterward, right? And she said, yeah, I was sitting there going, no way am I going to stand up. I'm sitting right next to Bob Metz. And he waited. And both of us stood and overcame that box that the devil was trying to put around us. That discomfort, oh. See, at the end of this service, at the end of a lot of services, God will be speaking to your heart, and you say, get up there. I got something I want to do in your life. I want you to bend a knee. I want you to humble yourself. I want you to stand up, and I want you to think about what anybody else is thinking. I want you to think about me. And I want to do a miracle in you. And a lot of people are going, know about that. And you leave in a box. God says, I empower you. I'd empower you to glorify me. But you're leaving in a box. Don't live in a box. Amen?
Amen.
We okay? Yeah? All right, it's two. All right, hallelujah. God empowers the church. Guess who's the church? We're the church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? And hallelujah. All right, here we go. Ephesians 1:21, and I'm rewinding just a couple of words here, and back into 20. And seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God has made a permanent change. Now, we read in our opening about these powers and rulers and dominions and authorities. Now these reference in Jewish thought and Jewish nomenclature and speech, various levels of angelic beings, be they holy and righteous and wonderful being angels or evil and being demons. All right? What we read earlier of chapter 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers in this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil. Now, these are the spiritual forces that come against us as we begin to walk in the Lord. Jesus has been given authority over these forces of evil and the forces and the angels as well. Okay? You tracking me? The reason I bring this up is I want you to notice that Jesus does not close down the demons. He could have. He could have just said, all the demons, you're locked up. All the demons report to hell now. I'm going to lock you up. But he chooses not to do that. What he chooses to do is empower us so that we can have victory over them. Amen? He says what? Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. I'm going to build my church. Who's the church? Me and you. Amen? And it says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And so he says, yeah, you are living surrounded by principalities, powers, and authorities of this dark world, but I have equipped you to whoop on them. You got to make sure you get the power. Because if you try to whoop on them without the power, they're going to rain on your parade. They're going to keep you in a box. But as you whoop on them, you're going to glorify me. And you're going to get this dynamic exchange of faith and power as you live your life in the midst of the enemy. The more you grab onto me, the more Christ is going to come and live in you. That'll glorify God. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. See, we need the power of God to push back the enemy. And how many people here have been saved? 10 years. 10 years. Up high. All right. You need more power than all them other people. You know why? Because Jesus says the further you go, the more power you're going to need. He says, you know, demon leaves your house, leaves your body, leaves your life. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go find seven more. And he's going to go find seven piddly ones. He's going to go find seven stronger ones. And he's going to come back to you. He's going to try and take up residence in you again. So the longer you're with the Lord, the more powerful you need to be to push back the attack of the enemy in your life. Can I get a witness on that? That's why he's praying. Incomparably great power. Hallelujah. Get that stuff. You're going to need it. The further you go, the more you're going to need. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. All right, let's keep going. Sorry, I'm a little wound up today. Are we okay? All right. See, I can see, notice the front row's empty? Because sometimes I spit. All right, here we go. And God placed all things. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is at the top. Given authority over everything. Matthew 28 says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Amen? Demons. Said Jesus, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus, you come to torment us before the appointed time. See, there's no doubt about who's in control. Jesus knows what's going on. The demons know what's going on. The only people who struggle with comprehension of what is going on is people like me and you who walk around the earth going, oh, what's going on? And that's why Paul says they're not getting it. God, can you help them out? They're not getting it. Lord, can you give them some wisdom and understanding so they can figure out your plan? Because we walk around in a box rather than walk around in power. Because we get the power. We get out of the box, we get in the power, and then we live to glorify God. You get up in the morning and say, God, how can I glorify you today? And he says, let me just pour a little power your way. Because you got some demonic crud coming at you. And as you defeat that demonic crud, everybody's going to see. And I'm going to get some praise. Amen? God speaking there, okay? All right, let's get to go. Note here that God receives authority. Jesus receives authority, and he exercises it through the church. Right? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He receives power and exercises it through you and me. He's the head. We're the body. We're the arms. We're the hand. We are the church, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Make you feel important? It should. It's the plan of God. The problem is that many in the church are running this race or fighting this fight, running on empty. That's why Paul is praying for the divine assistance. Help them out, Lord. They're running this race. They don't got no shoes on. See, we're surrounded by enemies much stronger than us. But our victory is assured as we are filled with Him. So we need to be filled and keep on getting filled. Amen? Wednesday night, we had church. It was good. It was wonderful. We celebrated in the presence of the Lord. And Lisa left and took Davina home. And on the way back, she stopped at the Dollar Tree. Any Dollar Tree fans out there? Oh, look at that. I don't go to the Dollar Tree, man. I go to the 99-cent store. But anyway, she stopped at the Dollar Tree at Arrow Drive, and her car wouldn't start. And we've been having some problems with her battery. And so it's like 10 o'clock. Car won't start. And can you come up? No, I'm busy. No. Anyway, I rolled up there, right? And I said, Arrow Drive, yeah. And so I pull up, and there she is, broke down, battery's shot. It's 3-year-old battery. But, hallelujah, right there is Walmart, which is where I was going to go buy her battery. I mean, what a great place to break down right in front of the store that's selling the battery. So I go in there and take the old battery out and get one that matches and get it. And I come out and put it in and it starts. Customer service lane was closed because it was so late. Said, you can't take the core. $15 charge for a core charge on a battery. And so I said, oh, it's okay. And so I put it in the back of my car, back behind my seat, and I'm going to take it to AutoZone and see if it's still good or bad or whatever. And so she gets home. It's all good. Hallelujah. Yay. And I get up in the morning and go out to my car, and I see my glove box open. And I see all this stuff pulled out of my glove box. And I'm looking. I'm going, my car's been broken into. And I got the car from Leanne's boyfriend, Sam. He's got this fancy radio in it. He's got this amp in it. I'm going, oh, no. But my radio's there. And the amp is there. And I'm looking. And I'm going, what have they stolen from me? And I see that they have stolen the old wrecked battery. They're in my car. And they're going, whoa, check it out. Look at the battery, you know. And it's like, a car battery weighs a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is heavy. I can't steal anything else out of this car. I better take my battery and go. So in that, she breaks down right in front of the store that I was going to buy the battery at anyway. And then it breaks down in time, so the guys are going to break in my car. I got something else to steal rather than all the good stuff in my car that I'd really be missing. And so as the enemy brings attack against you, and you receive that supernatural power and wisdom, the Lord says, man, I've got some avenues for victory for you. You got to take them. Amen? Hallelujah. I was happy. All right, here we go. Here we go. God works through the church. He works through me and you. Verses, chapter 3. Jumped over chapter 2, jumped to chapter 3. We're going to read the beginning of chapter 2 in just a second. But it says, intent. That's good right there. If you got a paper Bible, you got an electronic Bible, whatever, His intent. Do you want to know God's intent for your life? Right there. His intent. God, what do you intend for me? Right here. His intent was that now, when is now? Now. Right now. Through the church, who's the church? Me and you. His intent was that right now, through me and you, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the mayor of San Diego. No. President Trump. No. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. When? Right now. Through who? Me and you. His manifold witness be made known. That make you feel important? The plan of God. You can't work that plan on your own. Can I get a witness on that? Let's keep going. It says that, and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him, in Jesus, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We are to be God's wisdom on display. God's using the church to send a message to all the rulers and the authorities in heaven. The church is a display of the plan of God. What's the plan of God? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So we put that on blast. I got forgiveness in Christ. I hope you come here this morning knowing Christ as your Savior. Beginning of chapter 2 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of God's great love for us, God who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. See, the plan of God is to take God's enemies and turn them into his family. Because we started off as enemies. We talked about that last week. And instead of fearing God's wrath, walking around going, whoa, not even going to get there, not even going to go there. We can now live for his glory. We step into his presence and we display his manifold wisdom. And as we step into his presence, as you come to him in prayer, I hope you come into the presence of the Lord this last week. Our desire is that you would experience the presence of God every service that you come to. And as you do and become aware of his presence, that you seek that on your own so that in the morning you can join us in prayer right up here at 9 o'clock every day. In the morning you can do the daily reading and you will come into God's presence. And as you do that, you are transformed, you are cleansed, and you put a message out to the angels in heaven and they go, whoa, check out Marie right there moving into the presence of God. Check out my girl Jackie right there into the presence of God. And they are celebrating. Bible says all the heavens celebrate when one sinner repents. Amen? Amen? There's a celebration. And as Jackie steps into the presence of God, all the demons around in City Heights are going, we got to close that church down. Why? Because they are arrayed against you, against the plan of God, and they don't want that message going out. They're going to try to close you down. They're going to try and destroy your kids, destroy your home, destroy your witness, destroy your power. What a great lie. There ain't no power. You got all there is. They know more about God. You know all there is. No. Paul's saying, man, you guys aren't getting it. But I'm praying that God's going to give it to you. Amen? Demons come against you, try and push you back. Power, incomparably great power from heaven comes, give you victory. Gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you this morning. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, I kneel. That's why it's good to kneel, show submission and humility. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's a biggie right there. We're going to unpack that. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. And to know that this love that surpasses understanding, that you might be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. Paul prays God's power for believers. Paul prays the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine. This power comes from the abundance and wealth of the resources of the kingdom of God. And as we grab onto that power, Christ grabs onto us. There is a dynamic exchange, interaction of faith and power in the life of the believer as we push back the enemies of the cross and we put his manifold wisdom on display. Through God's power, we get Christ's presence. Message of the kingdom. Paul says, I wish that you could get a grip on the extent of God's love. Because you don't got it all. We can struggle for years to wrap our arms around the love of God. And as you wrap your arms around the love of God, you'll see, whoa, it's wider than I thought. You can try to move ahead in the things of God, and you get to the end and you see that it's longer. You can climb, give all your effort, get some ropes, get to the very top and tip your head over and say, whoa, there's still more. And dig and dig and get to the depths of God's love, and you get to the very bottom and realize that you haven't even scratched the surface. He says, whatever you've got, there's more. He says, I pray that God would help you comprehend what is incomprehensible. And if you can get a feel for how wide and high and deep and long that the love of the Lord is, you will realize that on your own you cannot even comprehend God's love for you, your children, and the people that are arrayed around you. That's why Paul prays that prayer. You can't get this on your own. You need a supernatural work of God in your mind to even comprehend God's love. He says, I pray that in all this, that you might be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. How full are you today? Are you full enough? Lisa, you want to come up and play? Come in here this morning and you might be feeling pretty good. Well, I got all I need. I hope not. I hope not, because the Lord would glorify himself in you this morning. The Lord would so transform your life, your power, your situation, that you could grab onto him more and more and more, that you could understand him more and more and more, and that by grabbing on and being empowered and understanding him, that you would be filled more and more and more in him. I pray this morning you come in here and say, Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to experience you more. Lord, I need more power in my life so I can quit being derailed by the attacks of the enemy that comes against me so that I won't glorify you in my life. I pray that the Lord is speaking to your hearts this morning. I pray that as we prayed that the Holy Spirit did a work in your life as we were lifting our hands up. You said, I see you, son. I see you, daughter. And I'm going to begin to do a work in you. I hope this morning, I trust this morning that there is a hunger and a thirst to know God more. Maybe, we'll come back to that in just a second. Maybe you come in here and you don't know the Lord. You come in here and there is darkness in you and the Lord says, I will pour out my light in you. He says, I love you and I died on the cross for you. I want to set you free from a life of sin, from being bound by the principalities and powers that are arrayed against you. I want to give you a new life in me. Without going a moment more in this church, every head bowed, that's you this morning. You're saying, I walked in here dead this morning. I don't want to leave dead. Yes. The Lord is speaking to your heart. He says, I'll give you a new life right now. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me this morning. I don't want to be dead anymore. I want to be transformed right here, right here, right here. Anybody else? Right here. Right here. You're here this morning. You say, I want a new life in Christ. Just put your hand up high. Your hand up high. You're like me and Marilyn. I want you to just stand to your feet right where you're at. Say, Lord, I walked in here dead. I want to leave here dead. I just want you to stand to your feet right where you're at. You put your hand up. Come on, don't let that discomfort. Just stand right to your feet. Say, right here. Lord, here I am, Lord. I am your servant. Stand to your feet. You want it? Stand to your feet.
You raise your hand, stand up.
Yes. Hallelujah. You want that. You don't want to walk dead. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I just want you to come right up here. Don't let that discomfort just stop you. We're gonna keep on with our service. I want you to come right up here. I just want you to kneel. Paul said, I kneel before the Father. I just want you to come right out from your seat right there. You put your hands up. Hallelujah. Right up here. Right up here. Right up here. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus.
God, Tommy Banks, I'm going to ask you to come up here and pray for these folks, would you? Hey, Lucy, do me a favor. Go over there, okay? He can pray for you, everything. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, right up here. You're here this morning, right up here. Just, I'll move over. I'll give you guys room. You're here this morning, and you're saying, you know what?
I need more of you, Lord.
God's got more for me. I want it. You know, right now, Lord, you have more for me than I can comprehend, Lord. I need a supernatural aid from the kingdom, Lord. I need some help. I want to grab onto you. I want incomparably great power in my life, Lord. I want to be able to push back the devil. I need more power. I'm not comfortable, Lord, with what I've got. You're here this morning, and you'd say this morning, Lord, here I am. I am your servant, Lord. I don't got enough. I want some more. Hallelujah. That you this morning slide your hand up. Say, right here. This is me right here this morning, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. I want more of you. You're here this morning. You want more of the Lord. Just slide your hand up. Say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord.